Everybody, what's going on? We're back here for another show, another interview, another good time with my new friend, Mr. PJ Farley. But before we get into talking to PJ and finding out what he's up to, because he's up to a friggin' lot, I got to tell you, this show and all of our shows is brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mr. Dan Peasy and his team of professional realtors, they provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for all the details or to contact an agent. They do service Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, but nationwide referrals are available. Be sure to ask them for the NH5 listing special or just give them a call directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. And don't forget to tell them Totally Driven Entertainment sent you. And now here he is. I'm going to say this too, because I saw this, you refer to in quite a few things you've done recently as a rock and roll legend. So he is here, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. PJ Farley.
Did you say I refer to myself as a legend?
No. I saw you referred to in some press releases and interviews as a legend.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, I must have been drunk.
Are you drinking right now? What are you drinking?
That's privilege and information.
Well, I'll give you a little cheers with some Coors Light here.
All right. I'll be joining you. Don't worry about it.
So, you know what the scary thing is? So, I was thinking about the last time I've actually saw you play live. Now, I'm originally from the Philadelphia area. I'm living down in Nashville now. So, I'm thinking to myself, holy crap. In Philadelphia, playing with Adler and Suki Jones, you guys were called at the time. At a bar in Philly. And then I was like Googling it last night. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, that was 17 years ago.
So funny you just said that, because what are the odds that you just bring that up? And I just found this. Can you read it?
Oh my God, come on.
I can't make this shit up, dude. It's just sitting on my desk. It's a DVD of that. It's a DVD of that friggin' show.
That's crazy. I used to have that probably, because I had a copy of the live video of it.
Yeah.
It's holy crap. No kidding.
Can't make it up, bro.
That's crazy. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, I had it for years, but I just recently found it. It's kind of crappy quality though. It's kind of bummer.
Yeah, we didn't have iPhones then.
Right. A long time ago.
So, you know what? We're going to get into, and we're going to get into the main question that everybody will ask, and we can get that out of the way. I've interviewed your longtime drummer, Marcus Scott, many, many times over the years. I interviewed Steve a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he told me his thoughts and was very upfront and adamant. So I just wanted to get your opinion, like Trickster. Do you think it'll ever happen again? Or
yeah, I mean, in one shape or form or another, it will. I mean, you know, me and Steve are still very much at it. And, you know, we're road dogs and we are, you know, we're the, you know, kind of the meat and potatoes there. So, I mean, really, I mean, the key factor is Pete can't really commit to anything. And he basically said that there's not much he can do. You know, he hasn't left the band. He won't just say, guys, I'm out, I can't do anything. You know, he just said, I can't really do anything. He's basically kind of saying, so if you guys want to go and do it, you can do it.
Right.
He kind of got my blessing because I can't really help you. You know, of course, we'd rather have him. But, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, it's kind of a bummer of a year. It's the 30th anniversary of our first record this year. And even if we had shit planned, it would have got bagged. So, you know, maybe that's divine intervention. I don't know. But so we'll pick it back up next year and see where Steve and I are at and where Pete's at. Maybe, you know, we'll see what happens at that point, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Gus is another conversation.
It seems like he really pissed you guys off and burned some bridges there.
You know, he just sometimes you let the dog off the leash and just goes running into the middle of the street. no good.
He's a wild man. He's wild for sure.
You know, I had a miniature pincher, and I loved that dog with all my heart, but he was a son of a bitch. And I used to have a magnet on my fridge that said, I'm a good dog. I just do bad things, you know? So, you know, it's kind of like one of those situations.
I hear you. So, you know, something going back in time again, you know, that really kind of surprised me, because there was a song that was blowing up on the radio years ago that I truly fell in love with. And then I was like, oh, crap, PJ's in this band. I had no idea. And that was Ra. And, you know, the huge hit you had with the, you know, Do You Call My Name? I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was back in 2002. And the funny thing about that was I was asked to join Ra before that record was made. Okay. And I almost did some shows with them, and the singer wanted me to join the band. And Steve and I had some stuff bubbling with various bands that we had together. And so I just couldn't up and leave and join you, because the band Ra wasn't signed yet. You know,
right.
I had Do You Call My Name and Rectifier and all those great songs from that, from one record, as demos. I'm like, holy shit, this stuff is great. But, you know, I'm already in a great band, and like, I got so much invested. I said, but, you know, call me if anything changes, really. And sure enough, a couple months later, they got signed, and Do You Call My Name was out on the radio, and then they were on tour, and he called me again. He's like, I got to get rid of my bass player. I need you to come out right now. So I was like, all right, now I'm in.
And wow.
It was 2002, right after that record came out.
Now, the one thing I always wondered, because, you know, with a band like that, it was kind of more like alternative, new, the new crop of music that was coming up. Yeah. And at that time, you know, it was kind of taboo for, you know, guys from hard rock from the 80s and early 90s. It was kind of like taboo and like not a good thing. Was it ever kind of a thing like, well, you're not PJ from Trickster, let's kind of keep that on the down low?
No, not at all. Actually, quite the contrary. Because when I joined Ra, that Ra was in the middle of a tour. They were with Stone Sour, Power Man 5000. And, you know, Sahaj from Ra, he wasn't really that into the whole 80s genre. Just kind of not up to speed with it, really. So he didn't really get into whether it was cool or not cool. He just knew that I was successful. And, you know, he had heard of the band and everything. But he didn't really give two shits about, you know, whether it's cool or not. I mean, I was going into a genre of people who had no idea who, this was a new crop of young hard rock fans. Had no idea really about Trickster. So it didn't have a stigma attached to me going into, you know, if I was going to a festival playing with Audioslave.
Right.
And, you know, Seven Dust and stuff, people weren't sitting there going, "Fuck, fucking dude from Trickster." You know,
right.
And ironically, all the guys in all those bands that I was playing with were Trickster fans.
Sure.
So, on the contrary, everybody that I was playing with, all the guys on the stage were more impressed that I was in the band than anybody in the crowd was unimpressed. You know what I mean? So there was no issue.
Yeah, that's kind of the cool.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, that's kind of the cool thing though too, because not many guys from you know, that era of the 80s, early 90s went on after the grunge thing into newer bands like that. So you kind of got to experience something on both ends.
Yeah, I definitely got to. I realistically did it all over again in a whole new genre and a whole new era. And it's a very unique, and you know, I'm blessed to have that, you know, where I can go kind of reset the clock and go joined a band that was bubbling again and like had a, you know, top 20 single on Active Rock Radio and, you know, doing all these great things in a completely different genre of music 10 years after I did it with Trickster and kind of got in under the radar. So it was I mean, and still doing it now. I mean, we're putting out a new record next year. So it's kind of,
that's awesome. Yeah, I saw that.
These two realities I have this nostalgia, Trickster, and all the other bands I've played with, like Lita and Eric Martin, and all these bands that I've played with in the genre I grew up in. And I have the whole other side of the coin.
Yeah, I didn't realize either that you had actually played with Lita Ford for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've become like this this hired gun. Do you like that, to be that guy that's called upon now? I mean, you've become, it seems like, you know, that trusted name that, you know, when somebody needs that bass player, they can, it's call PJ, get him in here.
Yeah. Call me the wolf. No, yeah, I love it, actually. You know, I miss the days of just being in one band and just,
right,
you know, just being with the same four guys, three or four guys, you know, hyper-focused on one thing and all eggs in one basket. Unfortunately, those days are long gone.
Yeah.
So I feel very, very fortunate that I get to go out and play with other people and, you know, that people think of me and call me to, you know, do these gigs, and I get to play with all these people that I love listening to and whatnot. So, I mean, yeah, I love it. I thrive off of playing with new people and putting myself in new situations that I've never been in before and go, all right, can I do this? Well, let's see. Fuck it. You know, I mean, I'm all about it. Keeps me on my toes.
Well, somebody you're playing with now, Chris Jericho in Fozzy, I heard.
Yeah.
So, which you got to tell Jericho. So that was my past life. I was a pro wrestler for 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in ECW back in Philly back in the mid-90s when Jericho was there. So I'm like, yo, Chris, come on, talk to me. We got to talk. We got to talk some wrestling. I used to bring food to the ring with me, and he would always be like stealing my Cocoa Puffs or my chocolate chip cookies in the dressing room.
Oh, I'm going to bust his balls about that. I'm calling Cocoa Puffs.
So how did you hook up with Chris? I mean, because supposedly you guys have been like friends for a while, but now I what happened? His bass player can't tour, and now you're going to take his place?
Yeah, I've known Chris for quite some time now, and you know, Eddie Trunk introduced us. You know, Chris was always a big Trickster fan, and Steve and I had just done Eddie Trunk's show in New York, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to and we all live in Jersey, real close to each other. He's like, and Chris was wrestling in New Jersey that night. He's like, come on, come to, you know, come out to dinner with us. I'm going out to eat with Jericho. And, you know, he'd love to hang with you guys. So we went out, and this was, almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, so we just always stayed in touch. And I started this group thread with me, him, Eric Martin, Steve Brown, and Joey Quesada. And just a, you know, a guy's bing, 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 you know, pastime that really literally takes up all of our day. And so we're in touch 50 times a day. And then once the quarantine hit, he called me to do this project Quarantine with a K.
Right.
With Ken Slutcher from Luke Prine's band and Joe McGinnis from the Classic 78, do some 80s Kiss covers. So we started doing that. And Fozzy had some tour dates booked this year, and yeah, his bass player Randy he's just not comfortable going out and doing anything. So, called me.
Wow.
So I said, sure. Great band, a lot of fun. And, you know, so, that's what I'll be doing until I don't know when.
So it sounds like, you're comfortable doing it because I mean, you got the dates with Fozzy and, dates with Eric Martin too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good to go, man. I did my 5 months or so quarantine. I got my false positive test. I got, you know, two negative tests and a negative antibody test. And, you know, put it this way. In the beginning of this year, I started off this year traveling my ass off. I did two back-to-back cruises. I did like four or five fly dates. I was on a plane or on a ship from January 15th to March 15th. Then boom, everything shut down. And, you know, I travel for a living, so I know how to travel and stay healthy. So that's how I do it. And I'm pretty careful, and I'm not saying that I'm immune by any stretch or that I'm not sensitive to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at it like, all right, I'm going to live my life carefully and respectfully, but I'm going to go out and do what I want to, you know, I want to do. The only thing I know how to do.
Right.
And, you know, put it this way, people are getting it that don't leave their fucking house.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not going to stay in my house anymore. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's a tough thing to even break down, but this is what I do. This is what I got to do. I got to earn.
Got to earn. So you have a new solo album coming out next Friday, I think, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, like, because it's been, what, 4 years since your last one that you did, your first solo album?
Yeah, 2016. So
did this whole pandemic inspire? Did you just, like, say to yourself, all right, it's time to do another one? Or had you been working on this something slowly over the years? Or
yeah, it started about a little over 2 years ago, I think. It just started, you know, there was a couple of years there where I didn't really have time to write. I was in the, you know, the baby bubble, you know, and gigging a lot and just, you know, not a lot of time. Just kind of sit down and strum the guitar and, you know, let my mind wander and be productive. So just kind of shut down a little bit. And then a couple of years ago, I wrote a song, just finished the whole song. I was like, holy shit. It was like, wow, it was such a, like an exhale. Like, I can't believe I did that. I haven't done that in a while. Just finished and completed a song. Like, I'm like, that's so cool. It's back, you know? So I'm like, all right. And I just started getting all these other ideas. So I'm like, all right, I got to go and record this one song, because I'm the kind of guy where if I write a song, I got to record it and clear my head. And let, you know, free up some space. But it turns out I wrote another one before I even got to do the first one. So I went out and I did two songs. So I'm like, all right, now I get two songs. Because I wasn't really planning on doing a record, because it really is a huge commitment. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort, time-wise, emotionally, financially, physically. It's a lot, man. And the payoff ain't what it used to be. So it's a labor of love more so than it's ever been. So I was like, you know, I don't know. I got two songs now. I don't know. Maybe I'll do an EP. And then I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to do five songs and I'm going to call that a record. Screw 14 songs on a record. So people don't listen to all that shit anyway. And even if they buy it, they're not buying. I mean, there's just no way to get your return on it anyway. So if I do five or six songs, that's a record. I'm not calling it an EP.
Right.
Let that be the new standard. All the standards are changing anyway. So screw it.
Absolutely.
That's all you get. That's all you're not even buying it anyway. Fuck it. You know? So, but then the kind of floodgates kind of opened. I just kept writing and writing. And it was like, before I knew it, I had eight songs or something like that. And I had about six of them recorded. And then the pandemic hit, and then, you know, so shut down for a couple months there. But then I snuck into the studio and kind of finished it up. And here we are. Yeah.
Now, is it kind of the same musical direction as the first one, or?
Pretty much. It's got the same kind of common thread. You know, it's a rock and roll record, guitar driven, but, you know, a little bit more cerebral, I guess. You know, it would kind of make you think a little bit more than it would make you drive faster down the highway. You know, but it's a rock and roll record, you know.
Have you heard a comparison? Like, as I was listening to the first one last night, I was like, it's kind of like Goo Goo Dolls-ish.
Yeah, I get that, you know, that 90s sound.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which kind of makes sense to me. You know, yeah, I mean, I love all that stuff. And I kind of filtered through everything, all my other influences, you know, and this one's got, you know, a little bit of everything, you know, but the same kind of tonalities, in the sense that it's not a big rock record, but it's also not, it's not a forced trying to go a different direction type of record. You know, nothing contrived about it.
Now, how about, so something else I learned about you, you originally were a drummer as a young kid. You started out with drums and play guitar. So did you play all guitars, drums, and bass on this album, or?
On a couple of songs I did. But this record, I didn't have to. So actually the first two songs I recorded, I was going to do everything. But the night before I went on the plane, I just about almost broke my finger in my car door, and I could not play drums. So luckily, my engineer, Chuck Alkazian, is a drummer. So he was able to do it. So, and I was glad. I'm like, you know, the first record, I had to play everything on it just because it was the way I was set up recording with Steve. We were writing, recording, and I would just lay down my songs that didn't fit anything we were doing. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of did it out of necessity. You know, it wasn't kind of thing where I wanted to be Prince or Lenny Kravitz or anything, just, you know, kind of hot dog it. You know, I didn't by any stretch want to do that. So I was happy to kind of get other people in on this. And Sahaj from Ra played a lot of guitar and a lot of stuff on this record. I like good four of the songs. Kent Slutcher played drums on a track. And, but I played, you know, a lot of the guitar, all the bass, and obviously all the vocals and stuff. Did a couple of the drums. But yeah, it was good to get some other feels on the record.
Now, how about that, the vocals? Is that something that, did it come naturally to you to be now singer and frontman PJ Farley, not just the bass player?
Yeah, it kind of comes naturally to me now. I've been doing it for so long. I've been singing for so long. And when I'm home locally, I mean, I sing and play guitar every night, you know. It's really nothing new for me. You know, I did on the last record get to go out and do some shows, a little bit of touring, and really kind of become a front man, you know, playing my own, you know, fronting my own band.
Right.
You know, that was something new. But as far as recording and singing and stuff like that, that wasn't really uncommon for me.
So is there an actual PJ Farley band in place to do live shows if, you know,
kind of
pandemic
sort of
was not here?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. But yeah, I mean, I got my kind of go-to guys.
Nice. Now, how about, I know you've done some like acoustic stuff where you just fiddling around, like little live streaming stuff on Facebook and all. Any plans to do anything like that to promote the album, or by October 1st, since Facebook's changing rules or something with music?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I think that's more for DJs and people who are at a bar playing three sets of covers and, you know, just streaming, playing other people's music. I think that's what they're going after, really. I don't know if I was going to be like, all right, I own these songs, so I'm going to play them. I don't think they're going to come after me.
Right.
You know, or if they do, it's really that they're going to come after me to pay myself. So, I mean,
right.
I think that's more for the people who are doing covers on online and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think kind of rightfully so. It's like they have to do their, you know, their job collecting royalties and streams and whatnot. So, I mean, if there's a DJ just going live and he's just playing records, like, you're technically right. Airing other people's music. So, you know, they're not wrong for trying to, you know, get some Venmo action, but in
sure.
effect, you're using other people's material. So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
They'll figure it out. They'll work it out. But as far as me going and doing something like that, I don't know. I'm on the fence. Maybe. But I mean, I'm going to get out there and do some shows, whether it's acoustic or whatnot. You know, I'm not afraid to get out on the road where there's shows happening. I'll go.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Now, when do you, which shows are coming up for you first, with Chris and Fozzy or with Eric Martin?
No, me and Eric got shows next week in, we're in Cleveland next Friday, the 25th, and just outside of Detroit on the 26th in New Baltimore, Michigan.
Nice.
And then I got some stuff in October, I think, and stuff, me and him got stuff for the rest of the year. And
oh,
late
cool.
fall. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool, man. Yeah. So I guess that's the plan now for the rest of 2020 for you, it looks like. Some shows.
Yeah, trying to piece it together.
Yeah, man.
Know.
Yeah, right, you know, when I talked to Steve, like, he was saying, you know, don't really expect live shows until 2022. He's like, you know, I think he was meaning more like, you know, Live Nation stuff.
No. Live Nation's going to be back. They'll be back and up and running probably April, May. You know, bands aren't going to like it because they're going to probably enforce that pay cut that they want bands to take. But, you know, look, when you're doing a stadium tour and you're making millions of dollars and you got to take a pay cut, you know, and you know, take the fucking pay cut and do the show. You know, you're making millions of dollars, you know. And unfortunately, Live Nation's just got a stranglehold on you. But you know, they're kind of calling the shots. But yeah, anyone who says not till 2022, that's not the truth at all. It'll be back next year.
Cool. So, all right, where is the best place to go to get the new album? It's called Accent the Change.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there, how many songs is there? So it's not six. It's what? Is it 10? Is it 14?
It's nine. It's right in the middle. Oh, it's a nice, comfortable, nice, like 36 minutes. And then onto your YouTube rabbit hole or whatever you want to do. Quick, in and out. Nine songs the way it should be. Not boring you with 13 songs, you know, all that crap. Nine quick songs and then on your way.
Is there any videos going to be coming out for anything? Or
yeah, the first video for the first single, Let It Rain, is coming out next week.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah. Nice. So we have the single next week. We have the full nine songs next week.
Yep.
Everybody and gets their PJ Farley fill.
Yeah, you can get it anywhere. You know, wherever you get music at. If you want physical, you can go to probably Amazon and my label, High Vol Music. You can get it from there, and they're doing the pre-sale where you can do like a bundle too, where you get a really cool PJ Farley shirt and a poster and or just the CD, and you know, then it'll be out on all the usual places to get your music, wherever you go, Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Music, all that stuff. Should be pretty easy to find. Yeah
That's the easy part now.
The easy part is getting it into your phone, so,
right?
Or into your hands if you like physical, which, you know, I still celebrate the physical CD.
Did you ever think you'd say to yourself, how to get music into your phone?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's so funny because I just read an article where vinyl outsold CDs for the first time. And that's great, you know, because look, artwork and like, I'm especially proud of this because my daughter did the artwork for this album.
Cool.
And she's going to kill me when she finds out. But I took one of her paintings and didn't tell her. So, and that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, and hopefully I do a vinyl for that because that'll be awesome. And, you know, people are buying physical product, you know, whether it be vinyl or CD, I don't care, buy it. But, you know, there's artwork, there's cool insert in it. It's, you know, it's cool. It's not just like a open it and then a card comes out and a disc.
Yeah. Or there's some are even doing tape cassettes again.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
They're reaching now, but I like it.
I don't even know if they play. I think it's just the fact that there's a tape cassette.
A tape cassette with like the flap that opens up like a CVS receipt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. More better.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, PJ, man, this is great finally getting to talk to you.
All right, man. You too. Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Can't wait to hear the full album next week and see
the whole new nine. Video. You get the whole nine.
get all nine. And I'm going to enjoy it.
That was the working title of the record, by the way.
The whole nine?
Yeah, no. I'm just kidding. I'd thought about that, though.
See? Now you have the next one.
No, the next one's going to be the whole eight. You're getting shorter and shorter.
Go less and less on each one.
Right.
Cool.
All right, man. It was good talking to you.
You too, man. Take care. Thanks again.
All right, bye-bye.